Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 12. And today's, we'll start with text number 2, which doesn't have any purport, so I'll read that by myself, and then we'll do text number 3 responsibly. Tenaiva sakam prithukak sahasrasham snigda sushigvetra vishana venapam swan swan sasro parisankayan vitan vatsan purushkritya vinirya yurmuda. Srila Prabhupada's translation. At that time, hundreds and thousands of cowherd boys came out of their respective homes in Vrajabhumi and joined Krishna, keeping before them their hundreds and thousands of groups of calves. The boys were very beautiful, and they were equipped with lunch bags, bugles, flutes, and sticks for controlling the calves. And text number 3. Krishna Vatsaya Asankhyatayar Yutikritya Savatsakan Chayanto Arpa Leela Pir Vijahrus Tatra Tatra Ha. Krishna Vatsaya Sankhyatayar Yutikritya Savatsakan Charyantorbalilabhir Vijahrus Tatra Tatraha. Krishna Vatsaya Asankhyatayar Yuti Kritya Savatsakan Charayantor Balilabhir Vijarus Tatra Tatraha. Krishna Vatsar Asankhyatayar Yuti Kritya Savatsakan Charayantor Balilabhir Vijarus Tatra Tatraha. Please chant. Krishna Vatsaya Asankhyatayar Yuti Kritya Savatsakan Charyantor Balivabir Vijarus Tatra Tatraha. Krishna Vatsaya Asankhyatayar Yuti Kritya Savatsakan Charayantor Palilabhir Vidurus Tatra Tatraha. Krishna Vatsaya Atankhyatayar Yuti Kritya Savatsakan Charayantor Palilabhir Vijarus Tatra Tatraha. Vaishnavins. Krishna Vatsaya Asankhyatayar Yuti Kritya Savatsakan Charyantor Palilabhir Vijarus Tatra Tatraha. Krishna Vatsaya Asankhyatayar Yuti Kritya Savatsaka Charyantor Palilabhir Vijarus Tatra Tatraha. Krishna Vatsaya Asankhyatar Yuti Kritya Savatsaka Sharyantor Pali Labhir Vijarus Tatra Tatraha Krishna Vatsar Asankhyatar Yuti Kritya Savatsakan Charyantor Pali Labhir Vijarus Tatra Tatraha. So, synonyms, Krishna, of Lord Krishna, Vatsai, along with the calves, Asankhyatai, unlimited, Yutikritya, assemble them, Swavatsakan, personal calves, Charayantaha, executing, Arpalilabhi, by boyhood pastimes. Vijaruhu, enjoyed. Tatra tatra, here and there. Ha, indeed. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse, along with the cowherd boys and their own groups of calves, Krishna came out with an unlimited number of calves assembled. Then all the boys began to sport in the forest in a greatly playful spirit. Please repeat. Along with the cowherd boys and their own groups of calves, Krishna came out with an unlimited number of calves assembled. Then all the boys began to sport in the forest in a greatly playful spirit. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In this verse, the words Krishna Vatsaya Asankhyatai are significant. The word Asankhyata means unlimited. Krishna's calves were unlimited. We may speak of hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, billions, trillions, tens of trillions, and so on. But when we go further to speak of numbers impossible for us to count, we are speaking of unlimited numbers. Such unlimited numbers are indicated here by the word Asankhyatai. Krishna is unlimited. His potency is unlimited. His cows and calves are unlimited. And his space is unlimited. Therefore, he is described in Bhagavad Gita as Parabrahman. The word Brahman means unlimited, and Krishna is the supreme unlimited, Parabrahman. Therefore, we should not consider the statements of this verse to be mythological. They are factual, but inconceivable. Krishna can accommodate an unlimited number of calves and an unlimited measurement of space. This is neither mythological nor false. But if we study Krishna's potency with our limited knowledge, that potency will never be possible to understand. Atakshi Krishnamadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai, from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Our senses cannot perceive how he could keep an unlimited number of calves and cows and have unlimited space in which to do so. But this is answered in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Evang prabho priyanam cha tamnas cha samayasya cha avichintya prabhavatvad atra kinchin nadurgatam. Sri Sanatan Goswami in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita states that since everything about Krishna is unlimited, nothing is impossible for him. It is in this sense that we have to understand this verse. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschita Deshtarine Om Agyana Timurandasya Agyana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshara Unmulitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtang Shtapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Tupatakamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnavaksha Shri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Raganatam Vatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vatangsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya वांछा को पत्रो व्यशा कृपा सिंधु एवच पतितानं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So, today's purport can be summarized with one word. Who remembers one word that Prabhupada repeated over and over? Unlimited. So, really there's not much more to be said, but I will say a few words. And then, Satchitananda Prabhu asked me to give a little synopsis of my travels. I was in Slovenia, Croatia, brief trip to Bosnia, and then on to Italy. And at first I was inclined to say, just look at my Facebook page because I have so many hundreds of pictures there. But I will take just a few minutes, if you don't mind, at the end just to show a few images and one little video. If you may recall, and most of you know because you're a great Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis in this assembly, Lord Krishna has very special symbols on the soles of his feet. And so does Srimati Radharani. So on Radharani's lotus feet, there's one very interesting symbol that's not on Krishna's feet. It's a chariot. Chariot with wheels. And so when you read the description of her, the different symbols on her lotus feet, it says that when Radharani wants to travel from one place to another, and she takes along her gopi girlfriends, that chariot can hold unlimited gopis. So, if we don't accept this concept of unlimited, we can never understand the Supreme. We're, as Prabhupada said, we're trying to appreciate the Supreme from our limited angle of vision, our limited stock of knowledge. But if we think about it hard enough, we can understand that their numbers get so vast that there's no possibility of counting them. Even just go down to Venice Beach in one little state in one country, and I give you as much time as you want. Come back and tell me how many grains of sand are on Venice Beach. You can't. At best, the scientists, they'll take one bucket full and estimate how many grains of sand are there, and then they'll estimate how many buckets full fill the whole beach, and then they'll give you an estimate of the total number. But they could be way off. But they say there's an error factor of, and then they decide what the error factor is. You see what I'm saying? They'll tell you that they could be wrong by plus or minus, you know, a million or so. But their actual, you know, error factor could be way off. So they just estimate and guesstimate, and I think maybe perhaps. So Prabhupada said, this is not science. Science means exact. Or, in this case, so inexact that you can't dispute. When it's stated that Krishna comes out with unlimited calves, a very smart person will think, well, where would you put unlimited calves? Well, he has also unlimited space. Krishna can expand space, time, his energies, because he's in control of them. Just like in the story of Arjuna being unable to prevent the death of the Brahmana's children. So he had stated that if he couldn't prevent that last child from dying, then he would commit suicide. But Krishna said, no, don't. I will explain to you what happened. So Krishna took him from this earth planet to see Mahavishnu, who is beyond the universe. This universe, along with all the other universes, they're floating in the causal ocean. And Mahavishnu is there in that causal ocean, lying on his Anantaseisha bed. So to get from this universe to Mahavishnu is a very, very long, long distance. We know in the story of Kukudmi and his daughter Revati, he wanted to find out who is the best husband for her. So he took her to see Lord Brahma, to ask Lord Brahma. He said, Lord Brahma said, wait a minute, I'm viewing a concert. I'll be back with you in just a few minutes. So then when Lord Brahma came back and asked him, so my dear Kukudmi, what do you want? He told him, I want to find a suitable husband for my daughter Revati. So Lord Brahma laughed. He said, in the moment that you've been here, your family, their descendants, so many generations have died. Nobody even remembers you. It's been such a long time on the earth planet. So that's just a travel from earth to Brahmaloka. Krishna and Arjuna travel beyond Brahmaloka to the causal ocean to see Mahavishnu. They had a conversation with Mahavishnu, who then revealed that he's the one who took all the Brahmana's children, and that he wanted to see Arjuna and Krishna. That's why he did it. So you can just imagine how much time normally would have expired on the Earth planet. But lo and behold, they came back and everybody was still here. So Krishna is in complete control of his energies. When Krishna wants, something can be so far away that you can never get there. And then by Krishna's desire, that same thing can be right here, that you can get it. When Krishna wants, time can expand in such a way that a moment of the demigods' times, you know, 6 months of our time is one day on their planets, the demigod planets. What to speak of one breath of Mahavishnu. But still, when Krishna wants, you can go to see Mahavishnu and come back and everything can still be here. So the point is, Krishna is in complete control. This is one of the last things that Prabhupada said before he left this planet. If you've seen that video, Prabhupada's departure. He said, Krishna is in complete control. That is Krishna consciousness. So that means whatever we're doing, wherever we are, whatever circumstances we're under, just remember that. Krishna is in complete control. I may be trying to take control. Somebody else is trying to take control of me. Somebody else is trying to... But Krishna is ultimately in complete control of everything, everyone, all times, all places, all circumstances. So if we're trying to surrender to Krishna, then as he says, Masa Chaha, what is there to worry about? There's nothing to fear. You're surrendering to that personality from whom everything is emanated, by whom everything is controlled. There's no... So when we are hearing this pastime, we have to enter into it with that understanding. We're dealing with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of everything. Lord Chaitanya also gave us that indication when he, you could say, synthesized all the prior Vaishnava philosophies that existed. Dvaita, Vishishtadvaita, all these were synthesized by Lord Chaitanya into his Achincha Beda Beda Tattva, the philosophy of inconceivable, simultaneous oneness and difference. If you leave out the inconceivable part, you can never understand the simultaneous oneness and difference part. So the first thing is achintya beda abeda tattva. Achintya, inconceivable. So when we're approaching Krishna, we have to understand that Krishna, his energies, his pastimes, his art, everything is unlimited and inconceivable to us. So basically we just have to accept the knowledge as it comes down in the cyclic succession. And gradually, as our senses become purified, more and more is revealed. Prabhupada said, I was listening to a lecture from 74 right here in Los Angeles on my way, the last leg of my trip from Italy to Los Angeles. Actually, it was, first of all, Rome to Paris, and then Paris nonstop to LA, 11-hour flight. So I was listening to Prabhupada speaking here, and he was saying that just follow the process of Krishna consciousness. Gradually, your senses will be purified. And because he said, because you're by nature pure. And he quoted that verse, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai Shravanada Shuddha Chitti Kore Yudai. That the living entity is by nature pure and is by nature a lover of Krishna. But we've been become covered over, and the uncovering process is just to go on hearing, chanting, engaging in the process of bhakti yoga. And gradually the day will come, he said, when you're completely pure, immediately you'll see Krishna. So there's no delay. You'll know when you're at that point of complete purity, because immediately you'll see Krishna, face to face, Prabhupada said. No doubt about it. He said, when you become completely pure, all the impurities are removed from your consciousness, immediately you will see Krishna face to face. Now, does that mean that when it happens, like you start glowing like a light bulb, or, you know, a big P appears on your forehead, you're a pure devotee? No. I was having a discussion not so long ago with one of my god brothers who claims that Prabhupada didn't make any pure devotees. None of Prabhupada's disciples are pure devotees. I'm not going to argue because I can't prove, but neither can you prove that there are none. That's your conjecture. You see, because we're thinking that if somebody's a pure devotee, again, they have to walk around, they have to be glowing, like that, so the whole room lights up when it's dark, or there's a big P on your forehead, PD, pure devotee. No, it's not like that. It simply means, again, we are all by nature pure, and you've come to the point where all the impurities have been removed. And it, again, it doesn't mean that, you know, Krishna takes out an ad in the LA Times saying, now, Satchitananda is a pure devotee, or, you know, Bhaktivatsala is a pure devotee. No. Again, somebody may be back to their normal state of consciousness, meaning back in pure Krishna consciousness, and you may not know it. And the example I like to use is Prabhupada himself. We all accept That Prabhupada is a pure devotee, is a pure devotee of Krishna. If anybody doesn't really believe that, you can come and see me. I think I'll be able to convince you a little bit more. But let's say theoretically we all accept that Prabhupada is a pure devotee. His own god brothers, who were pretty advanced Vaishnavas, they were not just, you know, lechas and yavanas, they didn't recognize that Prabhupada is a pure devotee. Even after Prabhupada established his mission all around the world, some of them were saying, well, you know, Swami Maharaj became successful because he was a businessman and he had so much experience dealing with people. But we just sat down in a temple our whole life. We've only been Vaishnava our whole life. No, had nothing to do with business acumen. Prabhupada is a pure devotee of Krishna because he's completely surrendered to Krishna. He was born a pure devotee. He indicated that himself. He said, just like myself and my Guru Maharaj Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, we had the good fortune of taking birth in Vaishnava families. So we've never known anything but Krishna our whole lives. So if such intelligent, experienced devotees as Prabhupada's godbrothers did not recognize a pure devotee sitting in their own camp, what makes us think that we'll be able to recognize when somebody's back on the platform of purity? It's ludicrous. It's not, again, that there's some big advertisement taken out or all of a sudden, you know, you see Vishnu Dutas following them down the street wherever they go. No, it's not like that. Prabhupada explained this morning also, Subhas was reading, Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavad Kinsina, that verse. That it's actually, that verse appears in the fifth canto, chapter 18, where Prahlad Maharaj and the residents of Jambudvip are glorifying Lord Nrisingadeva. So, they start out, very nice verse, many of you may know if you're especially in the Nrisinga Bhaktas. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasingaya Namak Tejas Tejase Avir Avir Bhava Vadranak Ravajadangsa Karmasin Rana Rana Tamagrasa Grasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Atma Biyushta Om Krom. So they glorify Lord Nrisingadeva. Well, my Lord Nrisingadeva, the possessor of all power. You have teeth like thunderbolt and nails like thunderbolt. Please destroy the demonic desire for sense gratification that is in our hearts and give us the abhayam, the fearlessness to fully engage in bhakti yoga. So then this verse, this Asyasi Bhakti Bhagavad Kinchana, I just took the time to read the purpose. Very interesting purpose. So let me just read that for you and then we can summarize and stop. So this is the fifth canto, chapter 18, text number 12. Yes, 12. So the verse most of you know, Yasyasi Bhaktir Bhagavata Kinshina Sarvar Gunari Trasamasite Sura Harava Bhakta Shikato Mahadguna Monorite Nasati Dhyavato Bahi. Prabhupada translates, all the demigods and their exalted qualities such as religion, knowledge, and renunciation become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudeva. On the other hand, a person devoid of devotional service and engaged in material activities has no good qualities. Even if he is adept at the practice of mystic yoga or the honest endeavor of maintaining his family and relatives, he must be driven by his own mental speculations and must engage in the service of the Lord's external energy. How can there be any good qualities in such a man? So, it's not too long purport. Let me just read the whole thing for you because it's very interesting. Prabhupada says, as explained in the next verse, Krishna is the original source of all living entities. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15.7, wherein Krishna says, Mamaya Vangsha Jiva Loke Jiva Bhutak Sanatana Manakshastan Indriyani Prakritistani Karshati. Quote, the living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. End of translation. All living entities are part and parcel of Krishna. And therefore, when they revive their original Krishna consciousness, they possess all the good qualities of Krishna in a small quantity. So the point there again is revive their original Krishna consciousness. We are originally Krishna conscious living entities, as Prabhupada said in his presentation of the Hare Krishna Mantra. Originally, we're all Krishna conscious living entities. And when we engage in this process of Krishna consciousness, we can revive our original Krishna consciousness. When one engages himself in the nine processes of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Arshanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanam, Enanam, one's heart becomes purified, and he immediately understands his relationship with Krishna. He then revives his original quality of Krishna consciousness. So this purification of the heart is a gradual process, but it does come to fruition. And when we get to that point where the heart is completely clean, again, there's no big advertisement. So, Prabhupada continues, in the Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 8, there's a description of some of the qualities of devotees. For example, Sri Pandit Haridas is described as being very well behaved, tolerant, peaceful, magnanimous, and grave. In addition, he spoke very sweetly. His endeavors were very pleasing. He was always patient. He respected everyone. He always worked for everyone's benefit. His mind was free of duplicity, and he was completely devoid of all malicious activities. These are all originally qualities of Krishna. And when one becomes a devotee, they automatically become manifest. So this is how we start to get an indication of how pure somebody is. Just check this list. Are they well behaved? Are they tolerant? Are they peaceful? Are they magnanimous? Are they grave? Do they speak sweetly? Are their endeavors pleasing? Are they patient? Do they respect everyone? Or do they criticize everyone? Like some people, I don't understand. You know, they give themselves the license to practically daily criticize devotees from top to bottom. They don't care, from the newest bhakta to most highly situated. Almost every day they're criticizing. So, not necessarily an indication of very, very advanced status. Are our minds free from duplicity? Do we avoid all malicious activities? All right, so then Prabhupada continues. Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, says that all good qualities become manifest in the body of a Vaishnava, and that only by the presence of these good qualities can one distinguish a Vaishnava from a non-Vaishnava. Krishnadas Kaviraj lists the following 26 good qualities of a Vaishnava. 1. He is very kind to everyone. 2. He does not make anyone his enemy. 3. He is truthful. 4. He is equal to everyone. 5. No one can find any fault in him. 6. He is magnanimous. 7. He is mild. 8. He is always clean. 9. He is without possessions. 10. He works for everyone's benefit. 11. He is very peaceful. 12. He is always surrendered to Krishna. 13. He has no material desires. 14. He is very meek. 15. He is steady. Just on that number 13. So even though Prabhupada was not recognized by his godbrothers as being a pure devotee necessarily, he recognized his godbrother Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. He told his disciples that this godbrother of mine, Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, he's niskinchana, he's without any material desires. And that was actually driven home when he was a new devotee. He had just joined the temple. This is what I understand from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's retelling, or the story that appears in relation to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, that Krishnadas Babaji, when he joined, from the very beginning, he was just into chanting. He could chant all day, all night, just chant. So he was allowed to stay back in the temple and chant. So some of the senior godbrothers, they said, well, to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, well, how is it this new man is allowed to stay in the temple and chant all day, and we have to go out and collect and do whatever? So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, being a Vaikuntha man, extremely smart, he said, okay, as of tomorrow, everybody stay in the temple and chant all day. So one day went by, 2 days, they started begging to go out. They couldn't do it. To sit in the temple and chant Harinam, to chant Japa all day long is not easy. You have to be in a very high status of purity. So after a few days, they begged to go out. And he said, see, now you understand. So, again, they didn't recognize his purity, but he was on that platform. 14, he's very meek. 15, he's steady. 16, he controls his senses. 17, he does not eat more than required. 18, he is not influenced by the Lord's illusory energy. 19, he offers respect to everyone. 20, he does not desire any respect for himself. 21, he is very grave. 22, he is merciful. 23, he is friendly. 24, he is poetic. 25, he is expert, and 26, he is silent. So that's the end of the purport. I just wanted to say something about that last one. Prophet said in one lecture, he said, silent means silent worker. In other words, you're working for Krishna. You know Krishna recognizes you. Krishna is God. He sees everything. So we don't have to advertise ourselves and try to get praise from other people. You know, and again, this is another way, indication of where a person's mind is. If you speak to somebody and all they talk about, and it happens to me regularly, I did this and I did that and I'm planning to do this and I want to do that and I want just me, I, and promoting their 26, silent. And Prabhupada said, silent means silent worker. You're willing to work hard for Krishna day in, day out, year in, year out, and not get any respect and not get any adoration. That is a pure devotee. That's the way the pure devotees work. And we see the distinction between Prabhupada and so many other so-called swamis and yogis that came from India. Prabhupada never promoted himself. From the beginning, it was always Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And then later on, the disciples started asking, well, Prabhupada, tell us about yourself. And then Prabhupada would reveal a little bit here and a little bit there. But he was never into promoting himself, just promoting Krishna. So I'll stop here. I want to leave a little time for the slideshow. So if there are any quick questions or comments on any of these points. Yes, Neela Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhupada did say that, but he also said other things. You see, he is sometimes very, very loose definition of a pure devotee, and other times more strictly. Because one time there was a discussion about just that, just devotee. One devotee said, one of his disciples said to Prabhupada, you know, sometimes when devotees, Prabhupada said, first of all, let's see who's a devotee. It's not so easy to be a devotee. You see, so sometimes he would use very strictly definition of what is a devotee, what is a Vaishnava, and other times he would be a little more liberal in his interpretation. Okay, yes. Oh, the pure devotee is not affected by the Lord's illusory energy. That's one of the qualities of a pure devotee. Yes, well, to be conditioned means to be under the influence and control of the Lord's external energy, Maya Devi. Maya means not this. So when we're under Maya's control, we're taking things to be what they're not. We're taking this body to be ourselves. That's the first mistake. We're taking this material world to be a place of happiness when it's nothing but dukkhalayam ashashvatam, temporary and full of miseries. This is Krishna's definition, and it's his material energy. So, but when one gets back to the platform of pure consciousness, then one is no longer attracted to or influenced by the Lord's material energy. This is stated in the Nectar of Devotion. One of the first installments of becoming a pure devotee is that one does not experience any more material misery because one is not influenced anymore by the material energy. So we feel that we're in miserable conditions, even though we're not. We're actually not in contact with the material energy. It's like oil and water. You can shake it up as you want, but they always remain separate. So as spirit souls, we really have nothing to do with this material atmosphere. But because we're in illusion, thinking that we're these bodies, then everything that happens to the body, I'm thinking it's happening to me, and I get depressed because I want something to happen, and it's not happening, and all related to the material energy. But we have nothing to do with the material energy. So the pure devotees, they are beyond that. They're not at all influenced by Maya, and therefore they don't feel the happiness and distress of this material world because they're not in contact at all. Okay, thank you. So just a few minutes, I'll show a few images. I went to Slovenia, Croatia, a small trip to Bosnia, and one program, and went back to Croatia the same day, and then finished up in Italy. And then I'll show one little video of Hare Krishna. But I'm going to do it from the computer over there. It's more advantageous to do it. All right, so this first series is from Slovenia. Here devotees are going on in Harinam, and I'll just run it as a slideshow. It's a small temple, Ljubljana, Slovenia. About maybe a dozen devotees in the immediate temple ashram situation, but very, very lively, and they do a lot of outside home program preaching. They go out on Harinam practically every day. And they make these wonderful little cookies, but they're so nice. Unfortunately, that was my first stop. I couldn't bring those cookies for you. I did bring some prasadam from Italy, so I'll distribute that after class. This is a new bhakta, Bhakta David, but he's very, very enthusiastic book distributor. And so are some of the older devotees, like this devotee, I forget his name. And so while in Harinam, they're constantly distributing books. This is in the city center, Ljubljana. And already in March, there are a lot of tourists in Ljubljana, so again, distributing prasadam, distributing books. These are the deities, Sri Panchatattva Kijai, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar, and Srivas. And then they have small Gaudiya deities, Gaura, Nitai. This is their Sunday feast program. Probably about 60. All right, so that's the end of Slovenia. Now we go to Croatia. So sorry, it's not really in the order that I wanted. I didn't have time to order it that way. But here I am taking a japa walk with some devotees in Plitvice Lakes National Park, beautiful park in Croatia. That's Lokesh Prabhu. We did a big program at his place in Saborsko. These are the deities in Zagreb. Gorni Thai deities. Gora. Nitai. And as you travel, you realize that Shri Gornitai is taking over the world everywhere you go. It's their Sankirtan movement. They're just allowing us to help them. But they're everywhere. Almost every householder has Gornitai deities. It's just like Gornitai everywhere. There's Prabhupada. It's a very nice, beautiful building that they have. Very airy, light. It's in a suburb of Zagreb. Overlooking the city in the foothills. Very nice. So this is the view from the room that I stayed in. Very, very beautiful, overlooking the city. And this, again, one image from the japa walk in Plitvice. Okay, so that's the end of Croatia. Go to just one program in Bosnia. So some of you remember Gop Kumar, Damayanti's father. So this was his place. He's got Gorni Thai deities there. There he is. You may remember him. He came here for a visit once. So we did a program at his house. First we had lunch. There's some devotees that came with me from Croatia. Then we went for a japa walk in the foothills there of Plešavica, which is a big mountain. Very nice. This is his house. On that little property, he raises so much produce, potatoes, tomatoes, you name it. And then we had an evening program. So, that's Bosnia. Short look. And then finally, Italy. These they have in Rome, which is where I went. Very small center. They have beautiful deities, Shri Nittai and Satchinandana. And it's a tiny temple, but such a potent place. From there, they do a lot of preaching. It was just three devotees. The temple president, his wife, and one brahmachari. But they do so much. It's amazing. And every day, they have a full program in the morning. And then the brahmachari goes out all day to distribute books. And then this is the entrance. It's on the bottom level of a mixed-use condominium. That's the temple president, Hari Kirtan Das, and his wife, Tulsi Gopi. And then we went to, there's a devotee who has a restaurant called Bibliothe. There he is, his name is Ekadashinath. He's a disciple of Bhaktiswarup Damodar. And he told me that, you know, he had this idea even before he read Prabhupada's statement about reading rooms / restaurants. So it's like a library. He's got books from all over. And then also art exhibit. So very nice, wonderful. So that's Rome. And then I have one little video to show and we'll be done. Swami says, utsaha, enthusiasm is required. It's not the number of devotees. It's the enthusiasm that devotees bring to their service. Square. Most European cities are like that. They have a big central square with no cars. Now I have a little bit of Mahaprasada from Rome. It's a small temple, so they don't have a lot of Maha sweets, but they did make some special Maha crackers for me to distribute to you all. So just wait a second, I'll be right there. Yeah.